Last week, we heard the greatest news that there was. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And that's probably the greatest news that anybody will ever hear. That we're in Christ, and we're no longer condemned under the wrath of God. So I'm going to talk today about walking in power, or the power of the resurrection. Being walking in power, knowing every day that you've got power working in your life, that one day we are going to be in heaven. One day we are going to have a new body. So, and the reading was excellent this morning, but I want to read it again. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the dead deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. With him, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and of children then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified. I want you to think about it for just a little bit. Adoption. I saw the cutest baby this morning that probably I've ever seen, and it belongs to Carl and my granddaughter. And that baby is beautiful. And I thought about, that's natural born, but I want you to think about people going through a nursery and adopting a child, saying, that's the child that I want. And God looks at us and all who hear the gospel of Christ, that he says, I want you. I want to make you my son. I want to put you into my family. Now, you're going to be my son. You're going to be my daughter. And he is picking us, and he's picking us through the gospel of Christ. As the gospel is heard, the gospel is believed, the gospel is obeyed, and all of a sudden we see, I just became a child of God. It's called the new birth. But even though it's a new birth, God says, I have adopted you because you are special. You're going to be my special people, my special sons and daughters. And he freed us from fear. In the Old Testament, we read over and over that they feared death terribly. And that death, they knew that they were going to a place that they couldn't praise God. And yet Job says, even in my flesh, I'm going to see my Savior. And so he's looking forward, but the people in the Old Testament, they were afraid that they were going to a place that they wouldn't be able to praise God. And of course, Jesus Christ broke the bars of death open. And it says, Abba, Father. And that word Abba just simply means an endearment. We are so united with God that we are a part of him, and he has taken us, and we can call him Abba, Father. And Father is our heavenly Father, but more than that, it is a relationship that we're talking about. I am your son, you are his daughter, and this is the relationship that we have with him because you have adopted me. You have brought me into the kingdom, adopted me into the kingdom of God, and I've been born again into that kingdom. So we need to check every day with the Holy Spirit, and we do that as we look at the Word of God. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, and find out if you are in remaining a child of God. As was said this morning, we can fall from the grace of God. But if you're a child of God and you're remaining there, we have assurance that he's going to carry us to the end, and that there's nothing that can take us away from the glory of God. Nothing can take us away from being his child. Nothing in this world. Now, you can walk away from him, but nothing, no power can take you away. So we move from slavery to sonship. And if you remember, Jesus even said, "You're my friends if you keep my commandments." So when he's looking here, he is saying, you have moved from when you were a slave of sin, and now you are a son of mine. So he's pointing out that even though we are not condemned in Christ, that even more than that, we are really legitimate sons. Your physical body remains subject to death because of sin's consequences. And I think we pointed that out last week. By the way, Tim's preaching next week. He wanted to preach, and so we're going to listen to him. The spirit dwelling in you constitutes life itself. If you don't have the spirit of Christ dwelling in you, you do not have life. And I understand Jesus said, here's one of the ways that I put it in. The words that I speak into you, they are spirit and they are life. When I get the words in me, I'm getting the spirit working in me. And when I get the spirit working in me, I'm having life put into me. That very life is as we imbibe Christ and imbibe the word. When the word lives in me and it truly comes alive, as Hebrews 4:12 says, then I am truly livened there and made alive in my spirit, in my soul, that I belong to God and I am his son, and I'm going to honor his name always. So this creates a tension believers must understand. That yes, my outward body is going to die. But the inward man becomes newer day by day, the Bible says. And so I get an infusion in life, and I get that infusion as the Word of God comes alive in me, as the Holy Spirit moves that Word in me. I become more alive and younger every day. And that's a thrilling thing to think about, that I become younger every day in my soul. So we want to live just as close to God as we can. We want to get the Spirit moving in us. And when the Word of God moves in you, the Spirit is moving. If we don't see that, we're going to have a terrible time. When the Spirit moves in you, the Word of God is moving in you. And the Spirit is saying, I want you to understand, I'm telling you that you are a son or a daughter of God, and you need to, your soul needs to accept that I am a son or daughter. And therefore, the two are corresponding with each other. We've been saved from sin's penalty. It continues to afflict our mortal existence. I heard the other day Franklin Graham say that Jesus took upon him our sins. He did not. He paid for our sins. He suffered for our sins. He paid the penalty for our sins. And so we are saved from sin's penalty because Jesus paid the price that God required for him to pay. And if he paid the price for God that God required, then there is no condemnation when we come into Christ. And we come into Christ whenever we truly obey what God has said. And we are baptized into Christ and baptized into his death. But not only that we experience that we die with him in his death. And that's in our mind as we recognize that we're in Christ. So the resolution lies in recognize that Paul means by the Spirit is life because of righteousness. The Holy Spirit will only work righteousness in us. And that righteousness is whenever we take the Word of God, put it in there, and start living and being the Word of God living in us, and we become living demonstrations of what it's like to have the Spirit guiding us. And that's a process that takes quite a bit of time. It takes quite a bit of time from the time you obey the gospel and you start letting the Spirit lead you as you recognize that you are a child of God, that I've just been baptized into Christ and Christ is in me and I'm in Christ. And when all of that happens, then all of a sudden, I start realizing the close relationship that God and I have. It's just, He is Abba, my Father. And that is, we have that close relationship. So our spirit is alive because we live by the words of the Holy Spirit. But more than that, those words come alive to where they turn into an action. And that action is that people can see the good works that we are doing and thereby glorify God in heaven. It's not that we are so good, but that God is good and working in us. If God is working in us, and some people say that it doesn't require works to go to heaven, then you don't have God working in you. The work of God is whenever we do what God tells us to do, that is God working in an individual. Did you understand that? Okay. So this refers to the life the Spirit produces in the believers now. In other words, we are alive right now in our spirit. I don't understand. In my mind, the older I get, the younger I get in my mind, except my mind doesn't work as good as when I was younger, but I know that I'm closer to God now than I was when I was 15 years old. It's amazing. Jewel said this morning she was seeing stars. You know, when you get old, one of the things you do, you see a lot of things that are not there. I had a fly the other day, it was everywhere. We get that. That happens in our life. But I want us to recognize that the Spirit working in an individual gives you life right now. The presence of the Spirit demonstrates that believers won't remain trapped in weak, corruptible bodies forever. One of the things that you look at is you notice that your mortality is showing in the mirror every day. That we get to looking at ourselves in the mirror and we say, you know, I'm getting older. And the wrinkles start coming and you start getting older and older. But you recognize that that is only this corruptible body and we're going to have an incorruptible body one day. And so he is assuring us that the very power that raised up Jesus, that power is going to work in this body. Then when it dies, that mortal body is going to be changed to an immortal body, that we will have eternal life. And to be immortal means that we're going to have the quality of life that we want. So the Spirit is life-giving and will overcome sin and death through bodily resurrection. And people say, how in the world can that happen? Abraham died years ago. And there's bound to be, he's ground into powder and so on. How will God raise up a body the same way that he created the world? It's an impossible thing, but God can do it. God can do what he wants to do. What will our body be like? Sometimes people say in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that there is a spiritual body and that there is a physical body. And a spiritual body, my understanding, and this is just my understanding, my spiritual body is that body that is raised. If you remember when Jesus was raised, I believe he was raised with a spiritual body. In other words, he went in a mortal and he came out an immortal. And he had a spiritual body because his spirit, there was no more temptation. That spirit and body are in total agreement. And I think that is a spiritual body. If you have other thoughts, that's okay. So the Spirit is in us. and we are in the Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? To think that the Holy Spirit is going to dwell in me. And I believe he dwells in us through a medium, which is the Word of God. But he dwells in us. Just as God made his dwelling place in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, we are have the Spirit living in us. And living in us, we are in the Spirit because we are walking by the Spirit. The Spirit is directing us. The things that we do, and one of the things that we notice in the Bible, is that all things are lawful, but even our liberty is contained in the idea of loving the other person. That I cannot do just anything I want. The Holy Spirit says sometimes you relinquish that freedom that you have so that you can love Stephen Kirk. So Christ is in us and we are in Christ. That's just about as complete as we can be. Being in Christ, I believe, is a metaphor for the relationship that we have. We have a great relationship with Jesus Christ, and Christ is in that relationship. He's going to be with us and in us as we listen to his word. He lives in us, and if he lives in us, we live in him. Our whole life is taken up in Jesus Christ. And I believe that this is what it really means whenever we say that we are taking and eating of Christ. We eat of Christ because he is our everything. The physical body is under the curse of physical death. Everybody is going to die. We don't like that. Even babies sometimes do. That's because we're human beings, and that was put upon all of us. So we're going to die, we know that. But to live again, that is the amazing part. In fact, I don't know how much we're separated. Do you remember God said that I am not the God of the dead, but I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So somehow or another, they are still in existence. I don't understand all of that. They may be in the heavenly land resting. I don't know. But I do know that he does not forget them at all. Therefore, this is called a body of death. And it's a body of death because it's going to die. And if we're going to die, that body, we don't like that body from the standpoint that we know that this thing is going to end. And if it's going to end, God is going to do something wonderful. Our spirit is alive because we are righteous in Christ. In other words, coming into Christ, he says, now you are righteous because you have faith like Abraham had. You completely trust in God. You completely trust in Christ. You completely trust in God's plan, and therefore you live God's plan, and therefore you are righteous in Christ. Christ is righteous. God has put us in him, and we are righteous because we are him, in him, and he in us. So the source of life is the Holy Spirit. That's what gives life. God sends his Holy Spirit whenever you're baptized to live in us, and he does that as we have obeyed the word, and now we are walking by the word, walking by the Spirit. In John 6:63, and we quoted this, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life. In other words, these words make this Spirit inside of us alive because the Holy Spirit is directing and this Spirit is born again. This Spirit becomes new. This Spirit has been adopted. This Spirit belongs to God. So God's saving righteousness demonstrated through Christ's work on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, he was paying for our sins. The cross is what the Apostle Paul said he didn't preach except he preached the cross of Christ. It all goes back to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But more than that, it goes back to us living that, living and celebrating, as John said today, that we are proclaiming the death of Christ to each other every time we take the Lord's Supper. And so, as he demonstrated upon the cross, that God, number one, hates sin. And God says sin is going to be paid for. And his son is going to pay that price. The Bible says that by his stripes we are healed. And by him being crucified upon the cross of Christ, that he paid the penalty that is due to every one of us. And therefore we ought to look at the cross every day and recognize this is what God did. I remember the brethren getting into a fight one time about we don't love the cross. We talk about that. That, oh, I love the cross of Christ. We do because of what happened there. It's not that we love that wooden cross. That's the ugliest thing that we've ever seen. But it's what happened there that we love. Just as our spirits have already been raised from the dead, so also will our bodies one day be rescued from the grip of death and restored once more to a state of pure life. I want you to just think about that. I hear sometimes people say, I'm really living. Wouldn't you like that every day, to be really living? I appreciate Carl. He came down here and he came all the way to bring me some cheese that he makes so that I can enjoy life a little more. But this living, I look forward to that day that we truly live. Every day heaven gets more precious to me. Every day that I look and I say, you know what? One day we're going to all be together. I think of this, Paige and I being together, Tim and I being together, Debbie and I being together. We're all together and we're not going to be separated anymore. We're living. One of the things God did when he created the world, he said that they were to keep the garden and they were to take care of it. Wherever we're going to take care. We're going to rule with Christ over the new world. I don't know what that world's like. I just can imagine. I look at the good things in this world and think if nothing was bad, it would be wonderful. If God raised Jesus from the dead, he will also raise our bodies as well. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Now that power is something that it's like energy all of a sudden grabbing hold of you and saying, you're getting up. And the body says, wow, something just hit me like a bolt of lightning. That I'm getting up and I'm actually alive and I've been dead for that period of time in my body and now my body and spirit is totally subjected to God. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Can you imagine when we hear that shout, and Jesus yells out with the voice of the archangel, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and there shall we ever be with the Lord. Won't that be something? To hear that last day and get up and see all of these people being resurrected. He says that's going to happen because you're in Christ. The present indwelling of the Spirit is a further assurance of our future resurrection. In Ephesians 1:13-14, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. You know who the Holy Spirit is if you're living by the Word. If the Word is really causing you to come alive, If the Word of God is really living in you, you know you have the Holy Spirit working in you. That's how you know. So the resurrection of the body makes us complete with the spirit and the soul. In Romans 8:23, and not only the creation, he's saying everything is groaning. Everything is groaning. The creation, everything. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. So he's saying your body has not been redeemed yet. Your soul has, that is, your spiritual side has, but your body has not yet been redeemed. It is going to be redeemed. God has paid the price for it, and he's going to redeem that body and buy it back, and it's going to live. So we have an obligation to live holy lives. This is serious stuff. To live a holy life means that I have separated myself because God separates me as his son, as his child. Separates me, I'm not to think like the world anymore. I am not to act like the world anymore. I am to be a light shining because I'm a reflection of Jesus Christ. That is a big responsibility. Think about that. You are a light shining, and Christ is shining through you. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. What is that? Well, the grace of God is that, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Why should we walk in them? So that our works glorify God. Everything we do is to glorify God. You remember Jesus said, Father, glorify me as I glorified you here. And God said, I've glorified you. I'm glorifying you. I'm taking you above everything. In Philippians 3, 20 and 21, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we will await a Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Isn't that a wonderful passage to think about? He's going to change this lowly body, and we will be like Christ. We don't know what that's like. He's been glorified even after he was resurrected. He went to heaven and glorified in a special way. We're going to be the same way. In Colossians 3, 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Can you think about glory, what it's like to all of a sudden shine and be something and have God say, you know what, Dan, there's a reservation for you here. And they roll out the red carpet, and you go into the promised land. That's the way that we're looking. So with all of that, and I want you to notice, I may not deliver as well as Tim, but I preach shorter sermons than him. So appreciate me, even though he appreciates him. Do you realize going to be with God, living with God eternally, is the most important thing that you can do as we're here and glorify God, that we're looking forward to that day that we can finally be with him. If you're not prepared for that, you need to prepare today, and you can do it. You can do it by making up your mind that you're going to hear God and feel, know that God loves you, knows that he loves you with all of his heart, and know that he gave his son to die for you, and you believe in his son, Jesus Christ, that he's going to be your Savior, he's going to be your Lord, he's going to be your everything. and that you would repent of your sins, that is, change your mind about who's directing you, and let God direct you. And then be baptized as we're baptized into his death, where he shed his blood, and you're cleansed from your sins. You can be prepared to go to heaven today. So won't you come while together we stand and sing?